Corporate underwriting on KPBS offers a unique opportunity for brands to demonstrate their corporate social responsibility as public media brings light to important causes. Your investment can showcase your brand's values and commitment to the public good. Email corporate support at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Thursday, March 26th. $1 billion is what California mayors say they need to address homelessness across the state. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors yesterday voted 3-1 in favor of moving forward with a first-time homebuyers pilot program. The sole no vote came from the project's original sponsor, Jim Desmond, over what he calls the addition of a needless political statement. He was referring to the board's direction to have county staff include an analysis of the impact of the war and tariffs on inflation, energy, and housing costs. The vote directed staff to report back on the benefit of a pilot program focused on interest rate buy-downs, opportunities for public-private partnerships, and down payment assistance. Data from the California Association of Realtors shows that as of last year, only 13% of households in the county could afford to purchase a median-priced home. Yesterday, the county's Department of Environmental Health and Quality shared news that the San Diego River, where it connects to meet Dog Beach in Ocean Beach, is now closed. This news comes as the department says around 18,000 gallons of sewage was released. It's estimated that around half of it reached the area that is now closed. Beachgoers are being advised that ocean water contains sewage and may cause illness. New light blue recycling bins are being rolled out in the city of San Diego. The bins are heading to households that are eligible for city-provided trash and recycling services. The city says that the new bins are more durable and are equipped with scannable tags, making them easier to track and manage. A majority of customers should receive the new bins on their designated trash day, when the crews will also remove the darker blue bins. The city says it will take several months for all eligible households to receive their new bins. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
UC San Diego, offering master's degree programs in data science, designed for working professionals to learn in-demand skills and gain industry connections to advance their career. More at mas-dse.ucsd.edu.
California's big city mayors, including San Diego's Todd Gloria, went to Sacramento this week to plead with state lawmakers for $1 billion to fund homeless programs. Reporter John Carroll reports the mayors say progress made reducing homelessness will be lost without the funds.
Last year, the city of San Diego achieved a 14% reduction in homelessness, progress that would not have been possible without the investment by the state through HAP.
That's San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria talking about progress made thanks to HAP, the Homeless Housing Assistance and Prevention Program. The state cut funding for the program for the current fiscal year, but in 2024-2025, it received $1 billion. Gloria says the stakes are too high if funding isn't restored.
Anything less than $1 billion really does mean that we'll be closing shelters in our respective cities. I don't think any Californian wants that.
The California legislature must have a budget ready to send to the governor by June 15th. John Carroll, KPBS News.
A UC San Diego researcher measured the impact of this winter's mass immigration enforcement operation in Minnesota. Reporter Gustavo Solis says the findings show declining trust in local law enforcement, among other consequences.
Operation Metro Surge was unprecedented in terms of scale. At its peak, thousands of federal agents occupied the twin cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And now, UC San Diego professor Tom Wong published the results of a survey measuring everything from trust in local law enforcement to economic output.
Learning about and understanding what happened in Minnesota has become incredibly important, not just to document it historically, but also to kind of think about if San Diego might be next or if LA might be next, how might states and cities prepare?
In the survey, almost 60% of Twin City residents say they are now less likely to trust local law enforcement. And that lack of trust means that people may not want to call 911 in the future.
Large percentages of residents saying that they are less likely to seek help from law enforcement as a result of how ICE and Border Patrol conducted themselves during Operation Metro Surge.
ICE did not respond to a request for comment. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
As the United States approaches the 250th anniversary of its founding, KPBS is looking back on significant moments in our history and reflecting on how they impact us today. Much of San Diego's early development as a city was tied to streetcars, small electric trains that ran on neighborhood streets. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen dug into the history of San Diego's streetcars, why they died out, and how some are fighting to bring them back.
We're walking along University Avenue, which was once part of the existing streetcar network.
Michael Donovan lives in Hillcrest and thinks about San Diego's old streetcars all the time. He sees their legacy in the wide streets that streetcars needed to turn corners.
It's interesting, with the construction that's going on in the street here, they're actually having to dig up the old streetcar tracks that were there.
The largest streetcar network in San Diego was run by the San Diego Electric Railway Company. It was founded in 1891. At its peak, you could ride streetcars to Balboa Park, Mission Hills, North Park, Normal Heights, and Golden Hill, even to the beaches.
You have the red line here, which actually is the same route that the blue line trolley now takes. And you'll see that some of these other ones also follow the current trolley lines.
Donovan is a co-founder of Vibrant Uptown, a grassroots community group that's campaigning to bring back the streetcar to San Diego's urban core. The neighborhoods built around the streetcar are already denser and more walkable than the rest of San Diego, he says. And there are new apartments going up just about everywhere you look here.
We don't have room for all the cars that are going to be here as we continue to build out these neighborhoods. So we need an option. It's not to replace cars, but it is to give us an option where you can fit 100 people in the space of a streetcar, as opposed to the amount of traffic it would take for 100 people in cars.
Yeah, well, they really started out as a way to develop the real estate of cities.
Ethan Elkind is the climate program director at the Center for Law, Energy, and the Environment at UC Berkeley. He says streetcars were the dominant urban transportation mode for many American cities in the early 20th century. Unlike the public transit we know today, streetcars were typically run by for-profit companies.
Real estate developers wanted to sell land, and a good way to boost the value of land was to build their own private streetcar systems. And that helped boost the price, and then they could sell the lots, and then people would just commute into where their jobs were, usually in the city centers, by riding these privately funded streetcars.
Elkind says as the automobile became more widely available, streetcars got slower and were often stuck in traffic. He says the streetcar's collapse was mainly due to an unsustainable business model.
You know, once the real estate was sold off, there was no longer an economic incentive for these companies to continue operating the transit systems. In most cases, they sort of went to the local governments and said, all right, we're losing money on this system. And, you know, will you step in and rescue the system and now subsidize it and pay for it?
That did not happen in San Diego. The last streetcar ride here was in 1949. Michael Donovan says almost 80 years later, the time is right for a streetcar revival.
Just because we changed something doesn't mean it was the right decision at the time.
The county's long-term transportation plans include a new streetcar that would encircle Balboa Park, but it's not envisioned until 2050. Donovan says Hillcrest and the surrounding neighborhoods can't wait that long.
We're going to get 50,000 new people in this neighborhood. We're not going to get 50,000 cars in this neighborhood. So maybe it's time to rethink and learn from what we did in the past and revive the streetcars that we once had through neighborhoods that were originally designed for them. So I think that's a great way to celebrate the history that we've made over the last 250 years.
Vibrant Uptown has won endorsements for the streetcar's return from community planning groups and the mayor. Right now, they're looking for $500,000 to fund a planning study that would look at possible routes and funding options. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
The Padres season opener is today. If you're planning on being there and snagging a parking spot on the street downtown, keep in mind that special events parking rates are now in effect. Reporter Alexander Nguyen has more on how much the city collected in fees during the Padres games last year.
Parking downtown has always been tough because of the limited spots. And if you're lucky enough to snag a spot on the streets, be prepared to pay more.
I'm not too happy with parking fees, the increased parking fees.
Last fall, the city quadrupled the meter rate from $2.50 an hour to $10 an hour during special events within a half mile of Petco Park. And the enforcement period was extended to 10 p.m. Mark Bartlett says the high cost is making him think about taking public transit to catch the game with his family.
We would always park on the streets, especially during a cutoff time. It was at 5 or 6 p.m. on a game night, right? Because you would get away with, oh, free parking. But now, I mean, I know they're pushing it back, specifically during Padres games, so it's going to deter us from doing that now.
The city says it made roughly $2,100 per game before the new rate went into effect. After the new rate, it was $23,000. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
The 15th annual San Diego Arab Film Festival kicks off this Friday and Saturday at the Museum of Photographic Arts in Balboa Park. Arts reporter Beth Accomando previews the festival.
While so much of what's happening now is about dividing people and emphasizing differences, film has the ability to bring people together, helping us appreciate our shared humanity.
That's what the festival is about. It wants people to engage in real human stories and also creates empathy in a way that the news headlines often can't do.
Jeanette Abadi is a board member of Karama and the San Diego Arab Film Festival.
Our mission has always been to use film as a bridge to connect audiences with genuine Arab stories and perspectives. There's still a lot of misunderstanding about the region and the people. And film is one of the most powerful ways to humanize these experiences. But one thing that we really try to emphasize is that the Arab world isn't one monolithic thing.
Larry Christian is president of Karama and chair of the San Diego Arab Film Festival Committee. He says Friday night is already sold out for the historical drama Palestine 36, about a Palestinian revolt against British rule.
Well, showing a historical context helps people to understand the identity, the motivation, and to emphasize with the experience of Arab people. The community feels itself under attack, and we want to provide a way for the community to get together and celebrate itself.
You can join the celebration and enjoy Arab food this weekend and again in April with the San Diego Arab Film Festival. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KPBS Roundtable offers perspectives from those telling San Diego stories. Join us for weekly conversations with reporters and storytellers, adding depth and context to the headlines driving the news in the San Diego region. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.